Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at COTA.com/service changes. That's COTA.com/service changes.
Jinda hey!
Honestly, I
was worried about you. Kedgy's here, Sachi's here. We're online today. We're all in our home. It's middle of the day as well, so it feels quite weird to talk out and be lively in daylight. But Kedge has survived the marathon, which was yesterday.
Hey.
Sach just goes, because just now we're setting up for the you know, on our laptops respectively, and you got up just to adjust your door or whatever. Sach went, he's moving all right. He's like, not like he's expecting.
Yeah, no, honestly, I thought he'd be a bit achy today, but he seems to be okay.
You know what?
The whites of your eyes are good. You don't look like a broken man.
No, it's like everyone's been messaging me going, you know, how you doing? My cousin's like, Kedge, can you move? And I'm like, yeah, like I've been a little bit shopping in the car.
Maybe you just sat too close to your cousin. That's what it was. Kedge, can you move?
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's surprisingly, and I'm not boasting here or anything like that. Right?
Exactly.
I'm not laying it down. But no. But I think, you know, like the build up to this, and you know what it's like. It's nerves. You are feeling nervous. You are, and of course, it's playing on your mind the whole time, and the build up and the lead up and all that. And you're just thinking, I just want the perfect run, like because you've been through all your runs and you've done a 50,
all your training,
yeah,
all
you've
your
done
lessons.
A 20 miler, yeah, you've done a 17 miler, and you're like, and I know the state I'm in. Honestly, like when I stood on Sunday, I couldn't move my leg, the knee locks, the thigh hurts, and all of that, and I'm like, you know, like you're thinking, I've not got to 26 before, so what state am I going to be in? But honestly, it felt like I had the perfect run. There was no injury during the run. There was no, like, the last the
how was your knee in the end? Because your knee was playing up after the last one, wasn't it? Or no, not the knee, your leg.
So yeah, the leg, do you remember I told you the leg went completely dead?
Yeah, the nerve, you said you sort of got like a weird,
I just it was fine. There was no issue. The closest issue I had was I was, you know, where you just start feeling, oh, there might be a cramp coming on your foot. But I did the breathing techers that I've been practicing, and I breathed it through, and I was fine, and it went. And also, if you dwell on it, it
happens. Those techniques, breathing out through the pain, that's what pregnant women have to do. So well done. You like,
there
you
we go.
Could, if I you could, can run a marathon, you could pass a baby.
So
the next stage, on next week's podcast, we'll be impregnating Kate. No,
we won't. The first Nessie. Surely it would be the first Nessie who gives birth. Bloke.
I think there's 1.4 million.
No, not women. First bloke.
I should hope so. Who knows what goes on in the villages of India. Now, listen, I think it's a massive achievement. Well done. Seriously.
Well done.
And I said this, I wrote this, I think, on your post, or did I message you?
You both did, and it meant a lot. I was quite emotional.
Did it
make you cry?
It was a little bit like, you know what? When you get messages from your, like, what you realise is that I've got so many messages, and I might as well just say thank you to everybody, because the brown loaders, there was a lot of messages going, us brown loaders are so proud of you. I know we take the mickey out of you, Kedge, and you know, and all of that. But and so many messages, and I was just like, wow. Like,
I tell you really why. I tell you why you get those messages, because when you're sitting there, and I saw your picture with the medal.
Yeah.
You get like a mix of sort of, it's like anyone's Instagram when they're on holiday or doing something or achieve something.
Yeah.
You get a mix of sort of envy and love for them, because you kind of go.
You know me, I don't post normally as well.
No, I know.
This is just going to be for the history.
Yeah,
that's it.
But exactly. And that's why I said, this is a life achievement thing. If you never run it again, you can say you did.
I won't be.
No.
Oh, is that it? That's it.
Give it a few months. I know there's no point even talking about it. But
I was that guy when I finished the half marathon last week. I was like, I'm doing this again next year. So what's changed? So I thought Hedge fully would be in it and be like, yeah, I'm going to do it again.
No, I won't run. I don't want to do a marathon again, because maybe a few years later. But honest to God, the amount of discipline and training you need to put in for this, the 4 months, is not easy. It affects everybody and you. And I'm not that, you know, like sort of super obsessed with running marathons. I'll run half marathons. Literally after yesterday, my cousin was with me and she was like, oh, Kedge, we're going to look at doing a London half. It's called London Landmarks Half Marathon next year. I said, bang, I'm on for that.
That's all right. That's a good length. A couple of hours.
Yeah. Because you don't need to. Well, you do need to train if you've never done it. But what I'm saying is I know I can do that.
How long did it take you in the end? What was your time?
It was over 5 hours. We got there in the end. So it was just over 5:02. Happy days. But what I've got to say is I really did enjoy it, because every time there were door players, and can I just big up the door players? I don't know if any of them listen, but there was about, I think, 3 or 4 points where there were door players. And, you know, like, you can just start, you know, like being a desi, you recognize that beat, right? You're going and you start hearing that beat, and it just gives me that energy. And it probably wasn't doing it for anybody else, but for me. And I just was like, and I was starting singing and the shoulders going. And then I did stop to do a little bit of bale bale in front of them, just to acknowledge them, going, thank you, because they were non-stop. And then I'd carry on again. I just thought like someone had to do it, because all the Gordie were just running past.
Of course. They don't know what that thing, that drum looking thing is. That oil drum.
To them, it's like when you hear a salsa beat or a reggae beat, and you're like, okay, there's a vibe, but you got a different connection with that vibe. So, you've already triggered inspiration. As you know, my missus wants to run a marathon.
Yes.
And yesterday, kind of looking at you, knowing it was London Marathon Day.
Yeah.
Without much preparation, she's definitely the runner out of us two. You know that.
Yeah, I know she is. She does.
She loves her run. She goes for a run. And she's been doing like recently sort of 10K jobs, 10K runs.
Very good.
Yesterday, she did a half marathon run. Just went out and just did it. And she goes, listen, I'm going to go for it. I just want to run. Right? Yeah. I might run for about an hour. She ended up running for 2 hours and she did half marathon.
Well,
she goes, I might just get someone. You might have to come pick me up. So I was just here at home.
That is the first thing that you've got to cross, because you know what? You're fine. But the problem is, in your head, you're going to go, I'm going to just end up stopping someone. And someone's going to have to pick me up. And once you cross that and you think this is okay. And I mean, if she's doing half marathon already, tell her not to get a little bit too excited about it.
That's what I said. Because you've got to pace it. You've got to slow it down.
Because a couple of people that I spoke to, other people who I play football with, they were like, they fancied themselves as runners. They overdid it. And then they didn't even get to the marathon because they injured themselves in the, because they think, oh, I can really do this.
Mm.
And then what happens? They didn't even get to the marathon because they busted their knee, they busted their back, whatever. And so you've got to, that's fine. Half marathon, she can do it. Brilliant. But, slowly, gentle pace. But I'm happy to give, I'll be her guru if she wants tips. Because I tell you what, there was one guy at work who ran the marathon. And
I don't think she wants that. She's looking forward to the marathon.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough. I might ruin it for her. But he gave me daily tips. And honestly, it makes such a difference when you've got some guy just like chipping in your head every day, just tells you, oh, do this.
Okay. This is exactly it. I've got to say it. I'm going to say it. This is the annoying part now, isn't it, Satch? Satch will relate. Because now you've got, I'll be the guru. Oh, I am now, we're straight back into annoying Kedge of like, okay, you're supposed to be, it's supposed to be like spiritually humbling, the marathon. You're supposed to see yourself for who you really are.
He's a professional.
Because you go through such an amazing physical feat that actually.
No, but it's supposed to humble you. Look,
but can I quickly just add to that? Every marathon, and I'm going to say it, there's another guy who I met on the weekend. I hosted some Sari event, I know, because I'm the face of Saris, right? I hosted some celebration of Saris event, and there was some businessman there from India who's run 10 marathons. And we were talking about it. I was telling him about you. I was talking about my missus wants to run it.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the next 30 minutes was advice from the marathon. I was like, I didn't ask, ask for advice.
I'm no, but you didn't ask for it. That's different. I would ask for it, so that's different as well.
No, look, I think we should give him, we should let him off this week. Give him a week to he can give all the advice he wants.
No, I think
you know what he's like. You give him an inch, he'll go.
No, guys, it's fine.
I've got a follow up.
There were a couple of people, brown loaders, who were giving me regular advice as well, and they ran the marathon. But you know, I took it on board. I didn't say that you know it all. That's fine. I took it
exactly.
on board.
Exactly. It's cool.
To be fair,
if now say for example, I want to run the marathon next year, I would probably call Kedge and ask for his help.
Yeah, I get that.
Well, don't do it.
But how many other marathon runners do you know?
None.
So that's why you call Kedge at a default. Kedge, did you have a snack? Did you? Because someone said at 5K you get to have a little snack, or 10K you have a snack. 5K a little drink hit. I mean, did you have any
right,
snacks?
So basically, I had to.
Look at me asking about the food and drink.
I know. Well, the thing is, and it's true, a lot of people don't tell you this, but I have these like kind of like jelly, kind of salt, kind of like sweet type things. So I had a packet of that just balances your salt levels and everything every now and then. And I had these two gels, again, same kind of thing, you know, a bit of caffeine in them. So I had them wrapped in my belt with me.
Satch, have you tried Kedge's salty jelly?
No, I haven't. No.
Do you want to?
No. I was trying to work out where you put the banana.
Oh my God. I there was a banana emergency.
I'm sure there was, mate. Where did you put it?
Well, no, I didn't have a banana. And so I had one before I started the race.
He gripped it in his jitter for the first 13 miles.
Can you imagine? So I had these gels and stuff like that. I overcompensated a bit. Do you know what I mean? I thought, you know what, let's not leave. Because normally I would smash out, say, half a marathon without anything. No water, no food or anything. But I thought, no, let's not do that because it's a longer, different
game.
That's not good. You know what I mean? So I was doing it regularly. So the jelly stuff at the half hour, the pack on the hour, well, when I remembered anyway, water. There's loads of Lucozade stands. They give it to you in a cup, which is really annoying, actually, in a cup, because then you've got to slow down.
Bag? Did you take some home?
No. I'm chucking it all away because you can't drink
that. Did you see AJ, by the way? He was hanging at Lucozade.
AJ
Joshua. Anthony Joshua.
Oh, no, I didn't. I saw photos of him after. So I would have gone, all right, mate. And I would have stopped, probably done some bungalow with him. But no, I didn't see him giving out any Lucozade. But you get water. A lot of people just squirting the water everywhere. Everyone's going. And you know what? The beauty of that is that everyone has got their own rhythm and own way and own techers. And you just got to respect that. And everyone's going at their own thing. But
On that note, when I watched a bit of it and I saw the highlights and things like that, I realize that because you always wonder what you look like running. Do you know what I mean? Like, and you look all right running, Kedge. Like you look like a runner.
The reason why
you see some people that run, I'm just going to say it, like slightly older women, and I say slightly older, they're probably my age.
Yeah.
But they're running like literally like they've done a duddy in their knickers. Like it's like they sort of squeak and it's like little steps, you know, like they're holding it in to stop it running down their leg. Do you know what I mean by that?
Hold on. Tell you what, there's a reason. Firstly, because everyone said that same thing, that, oh, Ked, you look like you can run another marathon at the end of it, right? And I was like, there was a trick behind that. And there was a little mantra that I developed during the start of that race.
I was thinking about it.
I was like, I need something that's just going to, I can talk to myself about something, three words, four words, something that's going to kill. And then I thought, the first thought came to mind was positive. Stay positive.
Can I guess what it was?
All right, I'll give you the letters. P, positive, right? H.
Hurry up. Home.
No. Happy.
Hike or D.
happy.
Okay, positive, right? Happy.
And then S.
Satch.
Punjabi Hit Squad.
Oh my God, and that's why. That's why it took me to Punjabi Hit Squad. So S was smile, right? So I thought, as I'm doing my first one, I've gone positive, happy, smile. And I'll just say that. And then I've gone, that's PHS. And then every time I say PHS, it goes, bam, 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 bam. And then bam, 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 it just gives me a little and it just
gave me night.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That. So then it go, bah, 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 and then I thought, energy, right? So then, PHS. So I just keep saying PHS, positive, happy, smart. And I just keep smiling at everyone. And honestly, that was what kept me going. And even there were some dark miles you know, as you're getting close to the end and all of that, and you got family going, oh, I remember that there was one bit, I think my dad said something like, oh, we're just outside Big Ben. And I was like, and I'm in the final 6 miles. And I'm like, I'm at the London Eye still. And I'm looking at Big Ben, it's miles away. It's only 4 miles.
Maybe he was with your older sister, and he just went, "I'm with your Big Ben."
Oh, I see.
You misunderstood. Yeah, right, sorry.
Yeah, that was. Yeah,
I know. I mean, you're, and I tell you what, South Bank to Big Ben isn't far, but when you're, I always remember that about running and also cycling uphill. Whenever I see a cyclist going uphill, I think, every link on that chain, every turn of that cog, you're feeling it. Every foot.
It was funny because I walked the other way from my walk last week, and it was Big Ben to the London Eye. And I was like, oh, that's down the road. Like, it's the opposite way.
Yeah.
I think it took me about 20 minutes.
Yes, it's long, isn't it, Seth?
It is long. It's long. I had to go from Big Ben across Westminster Bridge, bang a left, and then go through like that sort of little bit and come round to where the London Eye was. I was like, this is, on a normal day, that's like a 5-10 minute bop, if that, 5 minute bop.
Yeah.
Well done.
No, can I tell you, and also, it wouldn't be a marathon run if it wasn't a little boo-boo in there. Pre-race, I did probably the boo-boo of the century. And so obviously, as you know, I was with Chris Evans and we were in a VIP hospitality tent. So unlike the rest of the people.
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah,
as well.
I know. And I was very lucky and privileged to have that, you know, because they were making breakfast for you in that tent.
What did they make? They're nothing veggie.
Well, no. It was, mate, they had an omelette station. Oh, my God. No. But I did have it because I've never had an omelette before I run. So I thought,
That's asking for trouble, mate.
Yeah. There you go, Sam.
Then you're going to have a Dadino Nickers, mate, honestly. So
yeah. Exactly. They had a lot of good stuff there, but I thought, no, just stick to my routine, you know, and that's it. But obviously I was there with a lot of the celebrities were there, all the runners, the famous runners who are going for it, you know. I remembered that, you know, one of the Strictly dancers, who's a Kiss FM presenter, Tyler, his name is. He was going to be running it. So he was going to do Strictly on the Saturday night and then he was going to run the marathon.
Oh, get the contestant.
Yeah, wow. Contestant. So I'm sitting around and, you know me, I'm just looking around, seeing who there is. And I saw Danny Mills. Danny Mills was doing it. And there was a few other, you know.
Who's that?
Danny Mills, footballer.
Footballer.
And Talk Sport presenter. And then I saw Tyler. And he was just on his own. And I thought, he was getting his kit ready or whatever. So I went up to him and I went, Tyler, can I just say, mate, I said, I don't know how you're doing this. I said, you're dancing last night, you're here today, you're going to run a marathon. Can I just say, you're a legend, mate, you're a legend. And he kind of didn't really make eye contact with me. So I thought, I should have just kept quiet, innit?
Wally.
That is also one of Kedge's mantras. I should have just stayed quiet.
Yeah.
Kedge,
yeah.
You can apply that to so many things in your life.
You met Deepika Padukone, the same sort of scenario. You didn't want to make eye contact.
Yeah, something like that.
I remember that.
So he doesn't really make eye contact, but maybe he's getting in the zone. It might not be you.
Yeah. So I just went, look, can I? And then I was getting the phone ready to go in for the selfie. I thought, I might as well, now that I've done this.
Don't do it.
And he looked at me and went, mate, thank you, but I'm not Tyler.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Who is he?
He was just another black fella.
Ooh. Oh, Kedge.
he looked like him so
bad.
And then I was like, I said, you know what, bro? I said, you look so much like him. But anyway, good luck with the run. And I just ran to the toilet.
Backtracking.
Everyone I was with at Virgin Radio, and they just couldn't stop laughing. They were on the floor. And I was like, I helped everyone.
How do you do that? Because Kedge would have gone in. Right, not kind of going, excuse me, are you Tyler? Which is the obvious thing, right? It's Tyler, right? And he'll go, yeah, or no, or whatever. But Kedge will go, mate, no, I know you. You would have gone up and gone, mate, can I just say, you are a legend, rated, bro, rated. You were on Strictly last night, da-da-da-da. And he's going,
I did all of that.
Mate, he's trying to interrupt, and then he probably falls forward. I'm going to carry and put my trainers on, looks up and goes, I'm not Tyler. All right.
Wally.
Thank you, Dalsim. Now go
Wally.
On.
My God. So I was like, right, after that, I'm not going to nobody.
It's all of this. Is the experience. Sorry, you know me. I'm going to focus on the last thing about this. Afterwards, were you not ravenously hungry? Did you not smash up three large Domino's pizzas or something crazy.
No, I wasn't that hungry. It was weird. I thought it would be. But I think these, can I just say it again, and no one tells you these, but these gels and everything, I think it just constipates you.
Yeah. And caffeine and all that.
Yeah. Just, and so I had water, and then what I really found, about half an hour later, I started chomping on Walker's Ready Salted Crisp. I just needed salt, I think. So I was just, I had two bags of that. I was all right after that. And then I just, you know what? I just wanted some chili paneer and naan. I caned it. And that was it.
Yeah. If you woke me up in the middle of the night and just put a bit of chili paneer and naan in my mouth, I'd eat it and have to go back to bed. Like,
exactly.
Any time of the day.
Disgusting. That is disgusting.
Although just this weekend gone, can I say, I got a bit Indian fooded out. And that is on Saturday. Ooh. I hosted an event called the Art of Sari, right? This Six Yards company celebrating, because obviously every sari, the classic sari is 6 yards material. So talking about the evolution of it, how brilliantly it's done, how it's changed life, society, women can wear it, flashy, nice. They can wear it every day. You know, the sari is magical. It's our national female kind of dress. Brilliant. And this designer does funky stuff with saris. That's it. Ooh. She's proper out there. Like what? Giant flower at the front of, like, giant. I'm talking about the size of a lampshade. Actually, earrings that were lampshades.
That was weird.
Yeah.
You're not going to be wearing a lampshade to an Indian wedding, though, are you?
Yeah, no, you are. Bruv.
No, I think, it's a great idea, because in India, the light goes out every 5 minutes. So you just store the bulb in there as well.
So imagine this is the way to cut the, you know, to sort out all the issues energy with all our utilities. Yeah.
Mm. I thought if you had like a kinetic charger on you, that was you move around, you charge it up, then you've got light on your ears, attached to your ears, you can do reading and all that. You can have your own little
button. Tommy, be honest, were people laughing? What is that?
No, you know what it is? Everyone in the room was quiet.
Satch is laughing, just talking.
Yeah. If I was there, I would have laughed.
Bruv. Not worse than that, but more outrageous than that, one of the girls came out with a rubber mask and spikes on it, right? Like that. And even she goes, Tommy, she was like to put the mask on.
Oh, you spoke to the model?
Oh, yeah, I have to do all the pins, don't I? For the sari. No, I'm kidding. Yeah.
Honestly, she had pins like a Hellraiser.
You imagine like a punk rocker, you know, the spike. Like,
yeah,
you,
like Hellboy or whatever his name was.
And there's like six of them coming out of a rubber.
What's that got to do with the sari?
No, that's what they wore it with.
Oh, so in case if your dupatta falls off, you got a safety pin to put it back on again.
Maybe. Or maybe it's, I don't know, maybe it's like a new kind of juggle fitting. You can just slot it onto the spikes on top and the juggle just stays on your head, hands free. I don't know. My point is, it was funky, it was out, everyone accepted it. The whole point of that food, the food was done, it was at Madhu's restaurant in Piccadilly. Oh, yeah. And everyone, Madhu's is great. It's high quality, top end, expensive stuff, right? But I had that for lunch. Then went straight to a wedding where the food was done by...
Go on, Madhu's.
Madhu's, okay. Yes.
Honestly, I've never been so ungrateful in my life because I was like, I can't do any more lamb chops. I can't do any more jart. Their jart is unbelievable.
Are you sponsored by them this week? Last week was Vitality. This week, yeah. Madhu's.
Maybe we need to call it the Madhu's Marathon soon. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's right. Yeah, what, Tommy Samadhu? Tommy Samadhu.
I mean, we don't want to call the marathon that because we already established that it was Dada this year.
Straight out of the truck.
Which I thought was hilarious. And I think they've got you in tactically this year, Kedge.
What's that?
To run the marathon. You're an influencer.
Yeah, obviously. Influencer. Yeah, from the Gujarat.
So now next year is going to be a whole bunch of Gujaratis running it in their...
It's funny that Tata sponsored it because Tata ain't a thing over here. Tata's not. I know they own other car companies, you know, but yeah. Tata's not a brand, is it?
Well, maybe it looks like they're coming in though, isn't it?
They just bought a wicked office in near Victoria. Have you seen it? Yeah.
No, I haven't.
Really?
Yeah, maybe they're making moves.
I drove past it the other day and I was like, why is there a massive India flag outside this building, like on the way to Hyde Park? And I looked at it and I was like, right, Tata have bought this building. It's big.
So this is it. So you know what Kent is going to be like now in a couple of years' time. See that? I was there. I ran a marathon. Yeah. Tata sponsored a marathon. Yeah. After that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Kent.
Maybe brown people.
Exactly.
So, this is it. And then more door players around the course. I mean,
well, I think they're onto the whole Navaratri-a-thon thing that we were speaking about last year. Maybe they're just converting it into that.
They're on it. They're on it. How was your weekend, Tap? Sorry. Okay. Enough about marathon.
It was good, you know. So, like, I was out and about DJing. I think it was a bit of a quiet one. The weather was horrendous this weekend, was it? Friday was really bad.
Can I just say, how lucky were we with the weather on Sunday? Because it was meant to be
chucking it down on Sunday.
Yeah. And honestly, everyone was so... Even Chris goes, Kedge,
this is a blessing. Cold.
He goes, but I can't do the rain. And none of the professional athletes were like, we hate rain.
It changes it. Like you said, with your PHS... The rain plays a factor.
That's it.
It's hard to be PHS in the rain.
That's it. Go on.
It was a bit of a quiet weekend. But I actually Saturday night I was off and I went out. So I went out to it was a mate of mine's birthday, a 40th birthday in London. Can I just say, getting to London on Saturday was a headache because there was a train strike and bruv, it took me nearly 3 hours from South London to
roadblocking.
Let me just add to that. Saturday night then, so I went straight to that wedding at the which was at the O2 in South East London.
Yeah.
But I came from central London, so I was okay. I was going that way. My missus drove from our house, which is 6 miles away, 5 miles away from the venue.
Yeah.
It should take 20 minutes. Took 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
Just for any married people out there, let me just put it out there. When you've come from a work, I've come from a work thing. She's got the boys ready for the wedding herself.
Yeah.
And then had to bring them in the car.
Wow.
For 2.5 hours, stuck in traffic with their moaning. And it's Blackpool tunnels, it's tunnels and things like that. So you can't even, let me just turn off here.
Yeah,
and,
you can't.
You know.
You can't. There's only one road.
Stuck.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I'm going to leave it here because I don't want to indulge in this because she listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
She wasn't in the best of moods.
Did you go and make her a dish?
I got there. I'm already up there. I'm like, I was at the venue on time, like 4:30, 5 o'clock, and the party was starting at 5:30, whatever. So I got there early because my event had finished, and she got there. She got there like, you know, close to 7 o'clock, and just has got that look in her eyes that says, "I just want to go home now." Like, you know, like whatever. But actually, kind of, it was a good bash. But I'm saying that traffic on Saturday night was getting a tube
horrendous.
And I thought it'd be very quickly just to chip in there, third world Britain, because there was tube strikes. There was what was the other thing? There was the concerts were on at the O2 and the football was on. West Ham playing Wolverhampton.
Everything was on it is normal, crazy. Apart from the flipping trains. So it was just chaos on Saturday night. But I mean, anyway, I managed to get there. It was actually quite nice to be off on a Saturday. Got to a party. Knew a whole bunch of people there. What's the first thing everyone says to me? Why are you not DJing?
You're DJing tonight, mate.
And I was like, it's quite nice not to be working. Like, I'm here catching up with friends and stuff.
But why else would you invite Sats to a party? If he's not DJing. I mean, you know what I mean?
God forbid that you invite him. It did get me down a bit. I was just, everyone was like, oh, so you're not DJing tonight. I was like, well, no, I'm not. I'm here to chill and, you
if
know.
If you, by accident, invite Sats to your party, get him on the decks, mate.
No. It was actually quite nice not to be on the decks and just speaking to people.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? It was good.
When they did come up to you on Saturday, and go, "Do you know who I am?" You'd actually play along. You were all right with it.
I genuinely did know a lot of people there because they were like my friends who I wouldn't see in a long time if I didn't go to stuff like this. But I had a really weird encounter. And like I got there and someone came up to me and he goes, "I was just listening to you in the car on the way here."
No.
Now you're here in front of me.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, "Wow!" Big up Amit. He was listening in and. I've DJed for him once, like a very long time ago. But he goes, I listen to Brownlow, love it. So Brownlow, there was another chap there called Parminder, who's a big Brownlow fan as well. So big up yourself. There was a whole bunch of people, but it was
and again, sorry. Now that you make me feel guilty in case they're listening again, because I bumped into a load on Thursday night. I was hosting a set of business awards up in Yorkshire and in Bradford, and people came up there and said, "We're regular Brownlow, we're regular." Because what I always get, you get a group of people come over and they go, "Oh, can we have a photo?" Go, "Of course you can." And always after the event, when they go, "Oh yeah, he was all right. They quite enjoyed it." Mm. So they don't come up beforehand. And they come up after, "Come in photo, of course you can." And then we get together and they go, "Oh, so what are you doing nowadays? So where are you?"
Yeah.
I get that a lot. "So what do you do nowadays?" And one woman actually interrupted and she went, "Do you not know about the Brownlow?"
No, she didn't.
PR. "Do you know about the Brownlow?" Hey. And everyone looks a bit blank. And I went, "Oh, it's my podcast." She's, "Oh, it's so funny. It's the same guys on the radio." And da da. And I'm like, "Oh, that was nice." By the way, can I just share a little dilemma from that event?
Oh, we love a dilemma. Here we go. Let's help.
What would you have done? What would you have done in this scenario, right? So obviously I'm hosting the event and they've got awards to give out and they've got starters and mains to do as well. The food was by Muddles, actually. No, it wasn't. It was at the hall, which is very good. But anyway, they A woman was sat next to the mayor, The mayor of Bradford. Mayor. Actually, there's three mayors there, and I realised it's done in districts or whatever. So I didn't want to question who's the main one. Mm. So, but one
they
of
might
them
have, they might have some mayor beef.
Yeah, exactly. Right, nightmare. Right? And then, they had he had like all the chains on. This one guy had all the chains on.
Two there chains.
There was another mayor, female mayor, who was in a nice, like really bright green, sparkly dress. So she still looked equally blingy, but she didn't have the mayor chains, right? And oh, mere. Mayor kitchen should be something in the mayor's change. Right. Anyway, yeah. Right, but next to this mayor with the bling is a woman, and she, I'm on the podium. I was just about to go on, right?
Mm.
And she ushers me with her hand, like, little finger wave.
Like
so obviously, because she sat with a mayor, I just think
went over. Yeah,
respect.
I haven't got a bottle opener for the red wine. They put the red wine out on all the tables. I haven't got a bottle opener.
Thought you were a waiter.
No, not even thought.
Oh, excuse me.
I'd been on stage, right?
Excuse me.
And she just looked at me and I went, oh, no problem. And I'll be honest, just out of respect, I think.
But
it's an Indian boy in us. This is what I mean. It's the Indian boy. I went.
We can't keep going on like that. No. We can't keep doing that.
Oh, let me finish it, right? Let me tell you what I did. So then I go to the bar to get the bottle.
I would have ended it there. I'm going, nor have I.
Agreed.
Not done, Kej. You because you're like me.
No. All right. Maybe I wouldn't have said nor have I. And I'd be like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, no, isn't it?
It's going to a point now. This is ridiculous. You just who are you?
It's fine. What did you do, Tommy? What did you do? Let's find out what happened.
I'm not saying this in an arrogant way. She's not Asian, so she didn't know who I am, right? Like.
Oh my God, that's even worse.
Right. What do you mean? Why is that not worse? Why is that worse?
Keep going. What do you do? What do you
do? She just thinks he's a guy's up on the stage working.
I'm an Asian brother. He must be working with my dudes.
Right. Or, yeah. You know, they're all part of the organizing team. It doesn't matter, right? So she goes, I've got a bottle opener. Oh, there's no bottle. They've put all the red wine out and they haven't put bottle openers with it. And I went, all right. And I went, cool. I said, let me go get you one. And she sat there looking at me like, go. And I was like, okay, she didn't even get up, nothing. So I was like, okay, fine.
Do you know what I mean?
Hold on. I went to the bar. I went, can I have a bottle opener? I said, you put all the red wine out and no one's got bottle openers. Everyone's going to need one. And she's the woman around the bar goes, we can't give out bottle openers. So I went back to her table, took her bottle of red wine, took it to the bar, got it open for her and brought it back to her.
Right? Oh, you're so nice.
No, I tell you why. I think that's the right thing to do. As much as in my heart, I'm like, oh, I wouldn't do what she did. I just get up and take my bottle to the bar and open it up. But isn't that the right thing to do? Isn't that the way we are
raised? No, I don't think so.
What makes us?
No.
I think that has made us for a while. But I just think it's also, it's like, it allows people to take the mickey out of you a little bit. And no, I think that's look, if that was your, say if that was your, I don't know, sister's wedding reception. Yeah, okay. But say if it was your sister's wedding reception and someone goes, oh, Tommy, buddy, I ain't got no, you know, that's your hosting. You're hosting, right. So you want to, you know. But Tommy,
did you quickly get a glimpse of Kej turning Punjabi there? Buddy, oh, buddy.
I spoke a bit of Punjabi to one of the Singh Dol Prez, who was the first one, and he got well excited.
Yeah,
because obviously everyone has a fluent in Punjabi. Yeah,
it's different in that way.
But I just think this is like, you know, you're hosting, she's seen you and said, and I just thought, that's a little bit rude.
That's out of order.
Hold on a minute. If that was, what do you call it, Alan Carr on stage, he's just come off it and go, excuse Alan, mate, I ain't got a bottle.
Yeah, that's not right.
Jimmy Carr.
And yeah, it wasn't even like a mistake, was it? She legit wanted you to go and do it.
And you know, okay, so this is...
I get it all the time.
Than the Madhu's waiters and waitresses, weren't you? You weren't wearing the same uniform as them.
No, I was in a tuxedo. So
that don't matter. You're brown. We're looking smart. You're serving food.
can I just add one other little thing that's come to my mind? As I came back with the bottle of wine open, I went, here you go. She went... I hope there's none missing. Like,
I
drunk some?
I'd have poured it on their table.
It's missing now, mate. It's on your
And then I went, and then this is so bad. I can't believe I'm confessing this. Because she then goes, and she goes, oh, I hope there's none missing. I went, oh. I said, I don't drink. She goes, oh. And then you saw her face go,
are you Gandhi?
He's Muslim, and I've made him go and open a bottle of red wine. I went, it's all right. And I walked off. And then I saw in her face that she's thinking, oh, she's just clocked. she's just sent a Muslim guy to the bar to go get her red wine.
That is brilliant.
Right?
It's funny, and I
let it hang. Okay, so now you've gone here.
I'm going to bring a story as well then, right?
Here we go.
Saturday night, we were all out for a meal with loads of different people, and people had auctioned to be in the marathon and stuff like that.
So this is with all the Virgin team?
Yeah.
The runners.
Runners, and people had auctioned to get a place at the marathon, and we were all sitting with them, different people. And we were all just mixed up, and we were just chatting to random people, you know, because we were entertaining, so to speak. So I got on really well with the husband of the lady who was running. And the husband was like 65, he's just retired, and we were having a good chat. We were talking football and where he was going on holiday in Vegas and all of that. And then his mate was there as well. And so that was the first time I spoke to him. And it was so funny because he started speaking to me like, so, yes, I play cricket and I support a team which is in Leicestershire. It's Leicester. I know who Leicester is, and I know cricket. Do you know what I mean? And he goes, yeah. And so I've been really enjoying the England versus Pakistan series. I said, yes, it's been brilliant. You know me. I've got, yes, brilliant. He goes, I'm very close to the Pakistani community. And like, he starts speaking slowly to me as if he's Siri or something. I'm not understanding.
You understand.
Yeah, like he was doing that with
his mouth. I know this isn't your mother tongue, but
yeah. Well done for keeping up.
Yeah. And then I'm like, bruv. I said, I support India. It's cool. You talk about the series however you want to talk about it. Like, if you say that you're going to win, it's cool. You know what I mean? It's like, but, and then I was like, we're in 2022. It's funny, isn't it? How people still talk to us weird.
Mate, I think you know this story, but my next door neighbor, when I moved into this, my house now, it was a derelict house, my house was. So we completely renovated it from scratch. And obviously, we were just renovating the house that was there, not building anything above and beyond. No planning permission, no nothing, just renovate. And the neighbor, for some reason, old guy, you know, very English. And I think it must be, you know, you've got to think for him, lived in the East End all his life, all of a sudden this brown family moving in next door. I get it. Culturally, it must be just a bit of a shock. But then I was just being very nice to them, right?
Yeah.
And he was very weary of my builders and the build and everything else.
He knows you're going to make flats in your garden. Go down the side of the house.
Right. He was never, or something, or shed at the back of the garden and rent it out to my cha-cha, right? And then he goes, in England, we have a phrase. And that's what he said to me. And I thought, because I'm not from it.
No, you don't know. What's the phrase you should have said?
The phrase was, be wary of he who comes bearing gifts. Is what he said. Oh. And he goes, in your case, Tommy, he goes, your gift is your charm. He goes, but I'm always weary of someone who comes across so charming. And I'm like, because he thought, oh, this guy's just being nice because he wants to do me over. And I'm like,
he's going to buy my house and then really convert it.
Okay. But you know, you let that go. Slightly patronizing tone towards us.
Let it go.
This links back to the kind of the red wine, whatever. But I think it's just our nature. We're Desi boys. And I don't think we should change them. Let me make that point. We should. But, we will lower ourselves, humble ourselves, and go.
Well, no. I think that's just you two.
No, that's the right thing to do.
I'm not really 100% there, but there's a limit. There's a limit. Yeah.
So. I think Tommy's. If we had a scale, Tommy's first, Kedge would be in the middle. I'd be at the end. You're getting that at me.
In that scenario, you would have said to an older woman than you, she's probably about 50.
Said you'd have gone, excuse me, do I look like a waiter?
Yeah, I would have said that. I would have said, well, I want chicken and chips.
Yeah, can you hook that up for me?
What do you want me to do? Like, it's just ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Speaking of something else that I saw that was ridiculous this week, it was about Bruce Willis. Obviously, he's a legend. He's a G. He's got Batman films. Well, I think some of them were good, and then the ones towards the end were a bit rubbish, weren't they?
Yeah.
But I saw a story about how he's sold his digital self, and I saw the actual article, and I thought, this don't make no sense to me.
Say that again.
He sold his like digital self to someone who buys digital stuff.
I ain't got a clue.
How do you sell your digital self? I don't know. And I thought, I'm going to ask Kedge because he'll probably know.
So this is quite the story, actually. It was a big story last week because he's the first person, actually, the first actor to sell his image rights to a company that makes digital twins. So what that means What that means is that, so because you know he's retired, he's had a diagnosis of a disease that basically affects his speech and all of that kind of stuff. And so basically there's a company in Delaware which it's basically they make ultra realistic digital twins. So what he's done is he's given them his copyright rights so that they can create.
Use my Buddha.
No, the whole face, everything. Voice.
Yeah, the whole face. Yeah,
Buddha.
Yeah.
Face.
Yeah. Use me.
Yeah, use me. And it's on a digital screen. And so therefore, they will be able to own it. He will be able to act in films. They can age him. They can do whatever they want. Man. And he will still star in films. So the legacy still comes on. Because I think the disease he's got is to do with speech. It's an impairment of his language.
Yeah.
And so basically, this means they've made like a mini movie or something, which is like already with this, and you can't tell. It's like, you know, the deep fake
Tom Cruise.
It's that. So you're not going to know that.
If anyone has not seen it, just Google it. Just Google deep fakes and you'll see really well done digital lookalikes. And
it's
by the way,
it's not even also, like, you can't tell the difference, mate. You look at it and go, what's so deep fake about this?
No, yeah, meaning they look exactly the same.
Yeah, you can't tell.
You can't tell. The only thing is sometimes they look a bit younger. They look well. Like Tom Cruise deep fake looks a little bit younger than the actual Tom Cruise does right now.
Yeah.
But they've said that actually deep fakes have been used for some time in politics and stuff. And people have adapted people's speeches and what people are saying. Then that goes out on social media. So you've got Joe Biden, for example, messing things up. Did he? Did he not? How bad was that mess up? Because the deep fakes they can create now can make him look more.
Yeah, so on your timeline, you're going to be seeing a lot of deep fakes. You don't even know that you're seeing deep fakes because basically it just looks convincing. So you'll be like, oh my God, my God, it's like Satch helping out this woman looking for a bottle opener. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah. You know, on the podcast, said he would never get a bottle opener. But look, and then she pulled out some chicken and chips from under the table. What is going on?
But this is a massive, massive step in the world that we're going towards. And I know you guys are keep refusing to get on the train.
I knew you're going to do that. So I'm ready. Objection, Your Honor, because this I've got no problem with the digital. Look, this is just CGI plus.
This is the metaverse. This is the metaverse.
No, it's not. See, this is what's going wrong. Stop there, right? So in films for the last 20, 30 years, particularly, they even say a lot of these films are filmed on green screen and it's all done afterwards. They take 360-degree pictures of all the actors and they can recreate scenes and all that. Agreed. Even in Maverick, the new Tom Cruise film, you see shots of him younger and all that. There's been other films as well where Iron Man, where he met his younger self and all that. And it is brilliantly done and all that.
Yeah.
Great. I love that. And I also really like the fact that if Bruce Willis, unfortunately, has got this disease or something affecting him, that he can kind of carry on, or his artistry can carry on.
The legacy, yeah.
In a way, that also means that you could get scanned and you could be an amazing actor because they can just do all the facial expressions and the crying or whatever else. You wouldn't have to do it. Brilliant. But the metaverse is brilliant, but it's just a computer game. The fact that what I've got with it is you're going, we're all going to live there and we're all going to be in a box in our real life and just got these headsets on kind of going, ooh, I'm a dinosaur hanging out with a chicken. No, thank you.
No. So here's how the world works in terms of, they're selling it to you as a computer game for now, Roblox, all of this kind of stuff, right? But it ain't going to be like that because what's going to happen is they're just creating different components. All of this is going to come together. So there will be Facebook, people are laughing at Facebook because Mark Zuckerberg's avatar looks ridiculous. It looks like, you know, one of those Nintendo Wii emojis, right? It looks ridiculous. We're still a distance away from that. Yeah. But all of this is going to be realistic, right? Because they're going to be asking Facebook and Google, and there's a third company that I can't remember its names, are already creating the new world map. I think I might have mentioned this to you, and I don't know if you know about this, but basically, you know Facebook, so Meta, Google. So you know Google Maps is the one that everyone uses at the moment, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Google Maps, it's taken them all these years to try and make, so now you can go anywhere in the world on Google Maps and you could see roughly the street and, you know, the Delhi in India, whatever it is you want to go and see. But basically, that's not detailed enough for all of this to work. So what they want to do is they're already working on getting maps for in, not only inside the gullies that you can't get to anything, but they, in the next few years, are going to be rolling out this thing where people are going to be filming the inside of their house, because for this technology to work and for you to meet, they're going to start, they're going to be incentives to get your house filmed. And already people have got cameras inside the house.
Why would you want that?
No, because then you'll be able to map your house, and therefore then you'll be able
to... I don't want to map my house.
Well,
I don't want no one looking in my house.
Look, listen back to this podcast once you've done it. You won't even know you're doing it because you don't know. I'll tell you again.
Hold on a minute. If you've mapped the inside of your house, and therefore if a digital version of the inside of your house lives, is created, and people can create their digital avatars, technically someone could come and do a digital dutty in your house.
Absolutely, they can come and drop it. And I'll tell you again, that's already recorded a lot of stuff that people don't know about. Pokemon Go, kids, adults, everyone playing it. Do you remember you could catch a dinosaur in your house? What's this? Oh, look, I'm walking in the kitchen. So they've already, they reckon there's going to be a few more games like that. So you're doing it. They're not even asking you to do it. Do you see what I mean? They're doing it for them.
I get it. And I like that, Kej. I like the fact that it's going to fuse with our world, right? Wicked. Then
I don't like it.
Add a bit more to the world or whatever. But this whole thought of like...
But the problems herein lies, and therefore you know about this, Tommy, is this is why people this season have been saying with Westworld, they're going to be looking back at this as a documentary of humanity. Because what's going to happen is, if they've already got... And then, you know, we won't go into this too much, but if they've already created Bruce Willis... Right, and he looks like him and all that, and he's got his voice. How far are they from the next step of creating the way he thinks?
Yeah, okay. So cool. So next year, Kej, tell you what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna run the digital marathon. I'm gonna send my avatar. Avatar's gonna look at me and go, "Why the hell have I gotta go?" I'm gonna go, "Because you're my avatar. You go.
But that's what I mean. I think, look, we're already in a bit of a problem where I think young people can't even have a conversation or speak over the phone. Like if you try to ring someone that's younger than you to have a conversation about something, they physically can't speak to you over the phone because they're not capable.
And also, when you do meet them in person, they don't look like that because they haven't got those 78 Instagram filters on their face.
Yeah, that too. But I'm just saying, it's just going to take away.
I got a little theory on that, though, Satch. Do you remember when the phone would ring, it was your uncle or your auntie wanting to speak to your mum eventually, and you answer the phone, you'd be like, "Oh shit, hello, how are you?" Yeah,
I know, but I could do that. I can.
Nobody wants to speak to uncle.
It's not. But look, I can still have a conversation with whoever.
You won't get a bottle of opener for a random stranger.
I wouldn't have done that if I was 12 or 35. You see what I mean? So that was never going to happen. But I'm just saying, it just takes away like basic skills of life, which I don't like. Because now, for example, you don't even have to be a good actor. You can just be Bruce Willis, set up your avatar and be crap in life.
Yeah.
Which I think is what people are doing.
Well, as long as your avatar's doing stuff and business, because you'll be probably working in.
Yeah, but that's like saying, "Oh yeah, well my Instagram page is doing loads of great stuff, but I'm pretty crap in real life."
Well, there'll be more value in Meta though. That's the problem. The Meta currency.
I'm sorry, but as a human being, you're a failure.
But that's what you've just touched on now, Kej, is what Satch has just touched on, is Kej, I'm saying to you, is really where we're heading, which is for a massive mental breakdown, because people are now going to be living through this digital space and going, "Oh, I'm all these things."
Yeah. So,
I'm a bunny rabbit. Oh, I've got big eyes. Oh, all these wonderful filters and all that and videos that are together.
I love how he's experimenting with the bunny rabbit filter.
I saw your reel that you put up and the camera swirls around and he's running along with everyone. I'm like, yeah, but you know, that's not the marathon. The marathon is 100 days of planning, prep, fueling.
Yeah. I want to see that.
No one sees that. Then everyone's just due for a monumental bump down to earth where reality kicks in.
Document when you're constipated.
I know you agree, Kej. I can see it in your
document brain. What?
When you're constipated after the...
that, if you want to invite me to your separate podcast, Tommy, I will talk you through all of the pains and all of that and what happens in and out of your head. Because, you know, we haven't gone that. We don't do that on our podcast. But, I mean, like I said, and I said it to my uncle. My uncle was asking me. He was quite interested last night. And I said, I'll tell you what. And I won't talk a lot about this, but I said, the biggest game you play is in your head in that marathon. When you get to a certain mark, because everyone is at different places, right? But the biggest game you play, the match is against your head. And what you got to do to win that game?
Okay. Can I, sorry, just from my phone here, I'm not sure this is going to work. This is Kedge on the toilet last night, everyone, in his voice note to the group. Okay. Let me just make sure. How do I...
The one thing no one tells you is that you are constipated as
fuck. Oh, sorry. We... Oh, it's still playing.
Yeah, the bleeps, and then there were a lot of bleeps, and you guys were like the only people who heard the whole of that message. But my
honestly,
God.
I heard the message late last night. By the time I got round to it, and I thought, what's happened? Because he went,
yeah.
And I'm like, that's just him sweating on the toilet. He didn't even sound or look that out of breath on the marathon.
Honestly, that was more challenging than that. Just going to the loo was more challenging than the actual marathon. I was out of breath. I was sweating. I got foot cramp. I was in the toilet for an hour.
Did your tatty pass the finish line?
My God, what a feeling. Once it finished.
Right, fine. See, yeah, he's all right now. No wonder you're looking
very
good now.
Okay, yeah, well done. Very good. Yeah. Very good. What have you eaten today anyway?
Just normal, just a little bit of toast, add a banana, just keeping it simple. But it's funny because I was having a cup of tea as well. And then I was just reading and looking at things. And I came across this article about the six things you should never do in a calf. And
Things you should never do.
And we are quite connected to the calf.
We love the calf.
We do love a calf, especially when we were at the BBC. We were the calf kings. And
we had a calf quiz on the radio, didn't we?
Yeah, we had that. So here we are with the six things. And as I was going through it, I thought, these are the exact six things that actually all Desis do. So the first thing is the little finger doesn't extend up holding a cup.
Oh, hold on. Is that a bad thing to do?
Yeah.
The
handle should be visible at all times, but you should also try and avoid holding a cup like a mug.
Hang on, what little finger are you talking about? On your hand, yeah?
Yeah, on your hand, meaning all fingers should be hooked around the mug.
Sorry, not when you've got man-sized hands. They don't all fit.
I think you squeeze four into that same gap as well, then.
No, but quickly, just to add to that, I was drinking tea in India. This is a few years ago.
Yeah.
Pre-kids. And I remember I was with my mum's brother, my uncle, my mama.
Yeah,
and my finger went up, and he genuinely went, don't put your finger up when you drink a tea. And I went, what? And I thought he meant because it's not very masculine, right?
Yeah.
And he went, no, it means you're going to lose money.
Exit
for money. But they always put that on it because they think, how can they make Desi's behave? Tell them it's bad luck or tell them they're going to hurt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or lose money.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, so it's a bit of a bad luck.
Number two, controversial. Dunking biscuits is not acceptable in polite society.
I'm not accepting that.
According to this fella called William, he says dunking your fave sweet treats into a tea is an arrestable offence. He admits, from the comfort of your own home, it's fine. But when you're in a calf, don't do it. It's a huge no.
No, mate. No, it's getting
I've had a biscuit in a calf.
Yeah, that's a good point.
How do you pay for that?
You get the little Lotus biscuits that come with the little tea or coffee. Yeah, you get those.
And bruv, that's getting a dunk. I'm sorry, but that's... even if I was having toast in the calf, that's getting dunked in the
I think as a Desi, you're taught to dunk at a very young age.
Yeah, mate.
And I'll be honest, I've never dropped my biscuit in my tea because I don't over dunk.
Yeah,
I don't,
no, you got to have dunking techers, innit?
I don't mind doing that and then going to fish for it with a spoon. I do like that.
Nah, that's a bit. Then yeah, it's nasty.
Then you're drinking porridge.
Yeah, that's not the
you
one.
I mean?
But that's a bit.
This is totally a messy one that we all do. Phil, it says napkins are not to be used as face cloths.
Face cloths.
Yeah.
Funny enough, always, you know, like people wipe everything with it, wipe their hands. You see them kind of like
you
know, whatever, or even spitting things out into napkins. And I'm like. That's a napkin. You need a tissue for that.
Every Desi gives you a little wipe on their face. I know they do, but they say
it's like the communal towels at the gym. Like, you want to use it as minimally as possible.
No, this is your, you know, the actual napkin that you get put on your dick.
Oh, paper tissue, like paper or cloth?
Yeah, but it's like sometimes, you know, like mothers will give you a cloth, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so yeah, that's what I mean. The cloth ones, I'm saying you should keep to a minimum because they're going to be reused. They're not for your nully and everything else to be wiped off your face and everything else. Yeah. I see people blowing their noses into it, and I'm like,
yeah, sometimes, and this is what drives me nuts.
It's what tissues.
Sometimes you need a tissue, and there are no tissues available. You just want a paper tissue. So you've got to blow your nose.
I think you always need a napkin and a tissue.
I agree.
There needs to be tissues on the table.
Indian caterers, take note. Number four, stirring your tea or coffee should be done back and forth, not round and round.
Oh, that's a big one.
Isn't it?
Back and forth would create it to overflow. It would come over the edge.
Yeah, apparently this is a controversial one. A lot of people do it, but there is science behind it. Apparently back and forth motion stops any spillage, dissolves sugar quickly, and looks better.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I don't know, Kej. I've seen you do your back and forth motion. I don't think that looks better. So,
what was that tune? Back and forth. Yeah, what was that?
Aaliyah. Let me see you go back.
No. I can swing my hair back and forth. What was
that? I whip my hair back and forth.
Yeah. Banging the spoon on top of the cup is majorly incorrect.
Banging the spoon.
Once you've stirred it, you know how people go ding, ding, ding to get rid of the excess liquid?
Just a little bit of sugar.
It should be a soft flick above the cup, but no banging the spoons, please. Then leave the spoon on your saucer at an angle underneath the handle for extra etiquette points.
Hold on. Leave it. Okay, so where the handle of the tea is, the cup is, it's on the saucer. There.
Yeah.
Where does the spoon go? Underneath the handle.
Underneath the handle, yeah, at an angle. And the last one,
too posh, mate.
And the last one, which obviously my granddad would absolutely be against this, and that's slurping.
Yeah, I knew it.
Slurping is against all etiquette. And you know what this is? My granddad, you pour the tea in the saucer.
Yeah.
And you get the nice.
Love it.
It's beautiful, though, isn't it?
Love it.
I think you only put some masala tea. I don't think you get the same. Nusha.
Yeah, I think you can only do that with desi tea. You can't do it with PG tips.
What would happen if you just all of a sudden poured your tea out onto a saucer and went for that? Because there's techers, isn't it? It's the one-handed lift up.
Techers, yeah.
Got to balance it and get it into your mouth. I mean, I reckon that should be the homework for brown loaders this week. When you're in front of your English mates, just do that. See what they do. See what they say. See what they ask.
I tell you where I'm going, and you guys were invited, but you couldn't make it. On the 12th of October, the English Cricket Board, Lords.
Yeah.
You ain't coming now, because you didn't confirm. I said to you, neither of you two said you could come.
I'm away anyway now. So.
Yeah, so yeah. Satchel, that was it. It was Wednesday the 12th. It was our Diwali dinner.
Yeah.
By the way, can I just add to that? The organizer specifically said, make sure you bring Kej.
I might be able to come.
Okay, let me see if I can sort that. Right, and then and that's a whole other thing. Look at this. Oh, you know what? I hate people that aren't organised. That don't know their diaries.
Here we go. Let's not get into that.
I was being ironic there. So I'm terrible. So at that one at Lord's at a Diwali event. That's a good one. I'm going to pour the tea into the saucer.
All right. Well, put me out.
It should be. Okay. But I'm going to be surrounded by very English.
Okay, do it there and film it.
Yeah. No. Was that the top? You know, can I just say, as you're talking about this, I could kill an omelette and chips at a calf. Cheese, mushroom, onion, omelette.
Seeing as he's finished his training now, can we get a date in to like go out and do something fun? Eat or something?
We need a good feast. We need a good feast. What have we learned? What have we learned this week?
What have we learned this week?
Can I kick it off?
Yeah, go on. You go first.
Again, like I said, I've been at a few dinners, been sat with a few different people, sat with some doctors, quite a few, like, you know, just smart people, people that kind of, you know.
Go on.
And then somehow we started talking about, me and this doctor, kidney operations. Get this. When you have your kidney, but when you've had your kidney replaced, they leave the old one in there.
Oh, I think I've heard that.
How about that? The old one is just there. Imagine being the old kidney and the new one gets fitted. I don't really get how it works because I'm sure there's one place where the kidney attaches to. And I don't know how you attach another one. But the old one is often left in there. And I'm like, imagine like you're the old kidney. You go, all right, mate, who are you? I'm the kidney. Bust your heart. Move out of the way.
I've got it from here.
He goes, what do you want me to do then? Nothing. Just sit there. Yeah, sit there and watch me do everything. I'll do all the kidney business here. I'm the new kidney on the block.
You guys, coming in here, taking all of our jobs.
Yeah, you kidneys, you come over here. You think they can tell? Like, oh, this is a Gora's kidney. Oh, it's another this. Oh, this is a Punjabi kidney.
A brown kidney.
Yeah. I don't know. But there you go. The old kidneys are left inside.
I never knew that.
There you go.
Shall I go next?
Go on then.
Seeing as we were speaking about this last week, very briefly, I think we touched upon it. It was about the whole asteroid thing, where they were shooting that.
Do we have an update?
Well, I think it did happen, and I saw a video of it. Was that correct? I did see a video of it, didn't I?
Yeah.
It looked like a computer game, so I think it was fake, to be quite honest.
Deep fake.
It looked fake. But the thing that I saw was asteroid related, and it was about an asteroid called 16 Psyche. Have you heard of it?
Psyche?
No. Psyche is one of the world's largest asteroids, and it contains so much gold on it that if they gave gold to every single person on Earth, everyone be worth $93 billion.
Shut up. I bet you the Russians, the Chinese, the Americans, the Indians, they're already on this. They're already seeing how much some sort of fish out there.
I thought, forget this thing where we're trying to shoot an asteroid out of the sky. How about we go and get this one?
You know
what? I bet you they're on it.
No, forget that. There's a film. You know, like, what was that film?
There was a film, actually, I saw recently.
They were looking for gold. They were all looking for a treasure.
Oh.
And it was like Wacky Races almost type of film, where there's all these different people and they're all trying to find a treasure that's been left by someone. It's an old film, 30, 40 years old. Point is, imagine that now, all these countries battling it out to go and catch an asteroid. That's a film.
I think. Do you remember that? Like, you guys didn't watch it all, did you? Don't Look Up. I saw it. Were they not trying to break a rock or something which had loads of water on it or something? There was something.
Well, it was going to hit Earth and destroy Earth.
Oh no! So there's another film where they were trying to extract water or something from a big rock like that in space, and they were trying to chase it. It was interesting, but yeah, that is. God, can you imagine? There will be someone on that already.
Someone's got to be. And I'm saying, why are we wasting time with trying to shoot it out of the sky?
You know what it is? While the actual world leaders worry about, you know, interest rates and all of that, again, this is another evolving issue that we've got with the meta and all of that kind of stuff and deepfakes, is that actually very rich people are going to be controlling our lives soon. So like the Zuckerbergs and you know, all that.
It's already happened, Cage.
Well, no, but what I'm trying to say is they're going to be the people who run our lives. And they are going to be the presidents, the so-called the future presidents, the prime ministers, because they're going to have all the power. They're going to have all the information. And so it's going to be them people, like, you know, Teslas and them lot, who are going to be mining this gold and all that and handing it out. They all decide how rich we get, not the government.
You know what? I don't mind. Right now, looking at the governments that we got, I'm like, I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll take Musk.
Agree.
I'll take Zuckerberg rather than quasi-U-turn.
You know, this U-turn thing, like we're recording this early. We're Monday morning at the moment. Yeah.
Yeah.
You woke up to news that there was a U-turn.
Yeah.
I think that by the time this podcast comes out on a Thursday, there'll be another U-turn.
It'll be a 3-point turn. It'll be a 360.
100%.
It's donuts. Listen, it's donuts, bro.
I mean, he's like doing more U-turns than Usher, mate, in his album.
The best sign I saw while I was running, and it really made me laugh, was, Well done. You're running faster than my gas meter. And I thought that was really made me laugh. Anyway, the things that I learned this week, and I kind of teased it last week, and I know that people will be hanging on my
head. Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
So I will now deliver that information.
Did you forget, Satch? Oh, no, I've been thinking about it all week, Satch, because that's how...
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
For the real brown loaders who are waiting on, what was that barred fact that Ked was going to give us? And here we go. I can tell you why. Now we've got evidence, and it's been confirmed in blind smell tests by scientists that the pungent smell. Each person has a unique pungent smell when they do their own bud, right?
Bud.
Yeah, and therefore it becomes bearable to the individual over time.
Right.
But so basically, when you. And it's weird, isn't it? When you do your own butt, you don't go, and you don't do that, and you just...
Might smell.
Yeah, but you sit through. Even if you've done it in a public place, you just sit through, and you're okay. Like, what? It doesn't make you flinch. It doesn't make you vomit. Do you see? But they're saying that if it does make you feel like vomit, it means that it's you blame it on your diet, and you've got obviously eaten a lot of food with high sulfur in. But that sense of familiarity is behind why we like our own farts, but not others.
Yeah,
so,
okay.
So this sounds a little bit weird, but what it's saying is that when other people break wind, and if you smell it, this is the interesting thing, and this is how we've been engineered. Your brain detects that there's something trying to harm you, and so you set up your mechanisms as a way of protection.
You know what, Kej? I can back this up. I'll tell you how I can back it up. Because, obviously, yes, I've broken wind once or twice myself. And yes, right. So, firstly, me and Simon Sandu, you know.
Yeah. Right,
so your brother.
We have, over the years, he's the closest thing I got to a brother, don't forget, yeah? So his mum is my mum's sister, his dad is my dad's brother.
That's right, yeah.
Right, so genetically, nearest thing I got to a brother. We used to smell each other's bud. Like, you know, you go, oh, check this out. And it would be all right. You know, like when we were young.
Oh, so you've collided particles together to create your
I think it's because of my relation to him, he's not a threat. Therefore, I don't think my body's trying to attack me. You see what I mean?
So it's
you know what you just said. I'm not under attack because it's Simon's bud. And then following on from that, when Milo and Logan go for a number two,
yeah,
and I mean, and it does stink. But it doesn't stink in a way that repulses me. It's more like, geez, boys. It's like my own. It's like my own smell. And that's the other thing that's weird. It actually smells like mine. I'm like,
what the hell?
I'm telling you.
Why have we gone so deep?
No, it's not deep. Because I remember thinking, oh, that's weird. Like, I've been stood in the toilet waiting to wipe their bum. And obviously, they want to have a conversation. They're like, oh, you know what? And this happened at school. And I'm like, just finish.
Get on with it.
We'll talk later.
I have defense mechanisms against any bud, regardless of how related you are to me or not.
You'd run a mile?
I can't handle it.
Yeah, that says a lot about your nature. You've got a scared nature. See?
Well, here you go. Just to add on to your little fart fact, Kej.
Yeah.
If you don't want to be around farts, you should hang around with birds because they don't fart.
Hey,
oh, Kej is never hanging around with any birds, ever.
Right.
And by the way, on that note, in front of each other, I've definitely done a bud. Kej, you've done a bud. Have you ever heard Satch bud?
No,
I'm a bird.
Satch is what is part of the female population who don't fart.
I'm like a bird. I don't do pun. So that'll be your little Nelly Furtado remix. Brilliant. Thank you, as always, boys.
Thank you.
What time do you fly, Satch?
I'm off tomorrow morning. I'm off to Dublin and then I'm off to Dubai. So
is
I'm
it
back.
Place going to be DUB? Is it Dublin, Dubai, and then you're off to Dubai?
I'm only off to the two DUB places and I'm back next week. So, yeah, no, it's going to be a busy week, hectic week. But it will be a podcast online next week from Dubai.
Lovely.
Late one for you. All right. Have a good one, Kej. Congratulations again.
Thank you.
Enjoy it. Revel in it. And we'll see you boys all later on. People, have a good week. Laters.
Moto
Casino. America's social casino. Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.